All right, I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John. John chapter number 20 is where we want to turn for the preaching of God's word here this evening. John chapter 20 is where we are. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we want to look at verse 19. That's where we're going to start. John 20 and verse 19. We'll look at verses 19 to 23. The title of the message tonight is The First Sunday Night Service. I'm writing that down as we speak. There we go. That's the title of the message, The First Sunday Night Service. And really, that's what we have here in John chapter 20. Verse number 19, the Bible tells us, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." The very first Sunday night service. The Bible gives us a glimpse into that first Sunday night service. One of the reasons why we have a Sunday night service is because the disciples, that very first Sunday when Jesus rose from the grave, they were together a couple of different times throughout the day, not just in the morning, but also in the evening. And we find here that here in this Sunday evening service, the first one, that Jesus actually did some very important things. Things that we can learn from and really things that we can focus on. Now, the whole point of the message is not to preach about what necessarily that first Sunday night service was all about or even the importance of having two services on Sunday. That's not the point of the message. But the point of the message is to show us in that first Sunday night service, when Jesus met with his disciples, what was his message? What was he trying to get across to them in that very first one? And we need to learn from that. So let's pray, and then we'll get right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach to your people. Lord, it is a privilege and an honor. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach, that Lord, I would preach your word with power and authority that would not point people to me, but that it would point people to you. Holy Spirit of God, I yield this message to you, and I ask that you would do your work, the work that you want to do. I have in my mind what you want to do. I think it's right. I think it's what you've laid on my heart that you would want to do, but at the same time, I realize I may get it wrong. And so I just submit to your authority. You're the one that gets to decide what message is given to your church. So please speak. Lord, we claim your authority and power and the promise that you gave us that if we would submit ourselves to you, if we would resist the devil, that he would flee. And even tonight, we submit to your authority. You are the boss. You're the one in charge. And we stand against Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. We resist him as you've told us to do. And we claim your promise that he will flee. So we thank you for that. We ask that, Lord, you'd not allow him to distract in this auditorium. Lord, we think about the people in the audience as far as watching via live stream. We pray that he would not be able to distract in their minds or hearts either. Lord, even those who will watch later through video or listen later through an MP3 recording of this, Lord, I just pray that in each case, everyone would be able to hear your voice. And Lord, I pray, would you speak in a powerful way? Lord, we need it. And I'm trusting that you will, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you four things that we see in this passage of Scripture, or in this general area of this passage of Scripture. The first thing that I want you to see here in John chapter number 20, in verse number 19 through 23, the verses that we just read, what I want you to see is that we see a transfer of a call. In other words, the transfer of the call that Jesus had on himself, and he transferred it to his disciples. Notice what the Bible tells us again. He was there in the midst of the disciples. It was that first Sunday night. Notice verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.'" That very first Sunday night, when Jesus begins after the resurrection for the very first time to really speak to the local church as a whole, he had spoken to a few others individually, but now he's showing himself to the disciples. They're glad when they see the Lord, and he wants to give them the message. Here's the message that he gave: "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And I want you to understand that that word "you" gives the idea that it is a plural situation. In other words, he wasn't saying to Peter, "I'm sending you," or to John, "I'm sending you," or whomever. He was talking to the church as a whole. It was plural. The transfer now was from him to the church. In the same way that he was sent by the Father with a mission, he was now sending the church with a mission. And I want all of us here tonight to understand, and we've gone over it in the last weeks, but please remember, and with the Lord's help, I'm going to continue to pound this into our heads: we have a job to do. And we need to remember that we have a job to do. Don't lose sight of it. Jesus' words that he began that first Sunday night service with were, "I was sent by my Father, now I'm sending you." Please, Madison Baptist Church, don't forget, Jesus has sent us with a job. We're not here by accident. God did not allow you and me and Madison Baptist Church to exist during the pandemic of 2020 by accident. He sent us here during this time with a purpose. Don't lose sight of the purpose. Jesus said, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." I want you to notice what the message that he gave to them. Certainly there was a transfer of a call, but there were parts to it. First of all, he gave them peace. He said to them twice, "Peace be unto you." And I believe that if Jesus were here in a bodily form today, now he's here with us right now, as we are gathered together here in this auditorium, I want you to understand, Jesus is here. But he's chosen not to allow himself to be in a bodily form here. And so I believe that we have to kind of just take from his word what he would say to us if he did have a bodily form here. I believe he'd say to us, "Peace be unto you." You know, in these days we need peace, don't we? I can tell you, I need peace in these days. And I can also tell you that Jesus has been faithful to give me peace in these days. And he wants to give you peace in these days. Has your heart been filled with turmoil? Have you been upset? Do you find yourself agitated and irritated? Then that spirit, then that heart, listen, friends, please hear this. And that spirit, then that heart, is not from God. The Holy Spirit did not give you that agitation. Now, there is a righteous anger. But you know, God is amazing at allowing us to have that righteous anger that comes from the things of God and wanting God's ways and all of that, and yet at the same time being able to have an underlying peace. Do you have that peace? He wants to give you that peace. His message was not only to give peace, his message was to show them himself. Notice what he did there. He showed them his hands and his side. Verse 20, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You mean the disciples who, just in that last 3 or 4 days, their world had been turned absolutely upside down. The disciples whose outlook had completely changed in the last 4 days, who were probably in turmoil for at the very least 3 of those days, thinking, how in the world could it end like this? Suddenly they were glad. Why? Because they saw the Lord. He wanted them to see him. And tonight, again, I believe that Jesus wants you to see him. Do you see him? Have your eyes been on him today? Or have your eyes been on something else or someone else or circumstances or whatever else? Or are your eyes on him? If your eyes are on him, you know what I know will happen? You'll be glad. Because the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. His message was also to share his call. We already went over it, but he said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. And again, I believe that Jesus would say to us, you have a call, and I'm sharing that with you. His message was also to give them the Holy Ghost. I love that part where it says that he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now listen, the Bible is very, very clear about the fact that when you and I are born again in the family of God, we are given the Holy Ghost. But I also want you to understand that there is a Bible principle that you and I can walk outside of the Holy Ghost as well. That's why Galatians tells us if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that means if we are to walk in the Spirit, that means that we can walk out of the Spirit. And many times we walk in disobedience to him. And maybe it's not outright disobedience that we would think of, but it's not walking in the Spirit, therefore it is disobedience. And I want you to understand that the message that Jesus would give us tonight would be, listen, walk in the Spirit. Stay connected with the Spirit of God. Walk with him in obedience to him. That's the first thing that I would want you to see in this passage of Scripture, the transfer of a call. Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 21. Now, we go beyond that first Sunday night service, but it's an extension of that first Sunday night service. And I want you to see the second thing that we should see, and that is we see a loss of focus by Peter. That's chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and 2 other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. We see a loss of focus. Now wait a minute. Had Jesus not just appeared to them on that Sunday evening? Had he not just given them peace? Has he not showed them himself? Had he not just given them a call? Had he not just given them the Holy Ghost? He had done all of those things, and yet something caused Peter to lose focus to the point where he said, I'm out. Jesus had just met with them, and Peter says, I'm out. And I want you to understand that it's possible today that we could lose focus. That call that we're given, that responsibility that Jesus lays upon us, that as he was sent by the Father, so we are sent, it's possible that all that's going around us in 1,000 different ways could cause us to lose focus, and we could say, I'm out. Now, we may not say that with our mouth, but we can say it with our heart. And we can kind of throw up our hands on the task that Jesus has given us to do and just kind of get sidetracked on other things. What did Peter do? He went back and put his focus back on the things of the flesh. Was fishing evil? Every wife here says yes. No, obviously fishing was not evil, right? That was a way to make a living. There was nothing wrong with fishing. But it was wrong for Peter, because Jesus had called him away from the fishing to become a fisher of men. We won't take the time to look at it. I would encourage you to write it down. But it's in Luke 5 that Jesus gives that call to Peter. And maybe we'll look at it a little bit later on in the message. We don't know why Peter left, but we can imagine that he was disillusioned. Perhaps because things did not go as he thought. Now, imagine the rapture in his heart when he saw the Lord on that Sunday evening. And then think about it. Did Jesus stay with them after they saw him that Sunday evening? No, he only stayed for a short time, and then he was gone. And it got down to the nitty-gritty of doing the work in a way that wasn't very comfortable and wasn't very enjoyable. I'm expressing here what I think Peter probably went through. And Peter just said, I'm going back. Now, he should not have been disillusioned. Jesus had told him it would be this way. And friend, if you're disillusioned tonight by the way things are going and all that's going on, if you're disillusioned by it all, if you're discouraged by it all, may I say you shouldn't be? The Bible has made it clear these type of things would happen. The Bible's made it clear that it's not just going to be nothing but smooth sailing and a straight line all the way to glory, and boy, we just get to be saved and on our way to heaven like a cathedral song from the 70s or 80s, and it's all going to be awesome until we get to heaven. No, actually, there's going to be rough times. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, that through much tribulation we would enter into the kingdom of God. And by the way, we haven't resisted yet unto blood, striving against sin. And so we shouldn't be disillusioned. The third thing that I want you to see from this passage of Scripture is still in chapter 21, this time verses 4 to 14. Remember, we saw the transfer of a call, we saw a loss of focus, and now I want you to see in verses 4 to 14 a gentle reminder from the Savior. Look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, so remember, they had been fishing all night, hadn't caught anything, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all they were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So we see here a gentle reminder. And here's what the reminder was. It was a reminder of the futility of their ability. The futility of their ability. In other words, it was a reminder that if you are without me, ye can do nothing, which he had said previously in John 15. And they were reminded of that as they went out all night and tried on their own, as they tried to do it their own way, as they went back to the things of the flesh and lost their focus and got focused on what they thought was most important, they realized it's futile for me to do this. It was a gentle reminder of the futility of their quote-unquote ability. It was also a reminder of their purpose. When Jesus did this with them, when he showed them, hey, cast the net on the other side of the ship. And I believe he said the right side of the ship, right? That was a reminder to them. Wait, I remember when he did that back in, for us it was Luke chapter 5. I remember when he did that when he called us. Let's go there. I think we should go ahead and turn there. Keep your place in John, but look at Luke chapter 5. Shouldn't take you but a minute to turn there. Luke chapter number 5, look at verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5 of Luke 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And I imagine that when the disciples in John 21, when they went out, Jesus said, Have ye any meat? Cast the net on the right side of the ship. And they did so and brought a net full of fishes. Instantly, Peter was reminded, and the other disciples were reminded, That's right. He gave us a job to do. We're out here doing this, and he gave us a job to catch men. What are we doing? We've lost our focus. We've gone aside. We've turned away to other things. The disillusionment caused us to lose focus as to what was important and what was right. And I love the fact that Jesus gave them a gentle reminder of their purpose. He also gave them a gentle reminder of his care for them. You know, even though they failed, he cared for them. Jesus didn't yell at them. He didn't give them a strong rebuke. He didn't beat them over the head with their failure. I find it interesting that the Bible tells us that when they got to shore, there was a fire there. But listen, it wasn't just a fire, it was a fire of coals. You know what that means? That means that Jesus had been there a long time waiting for them. It takes a long time to have a fire of coals. Jesus wasn't there 5 minutes before they got there. He was there on the shore waiting for them. And when they arrived, here's what he said, Come and dine. And you know that tonight, if you've lost your focus, if you've been disillusioned by these things and you've gotten sidetracked in other things, I want you to understand Jesus does not want to beat you over the head with your failure. And even right now, he's waiting for you to recognize the purpose for which you are here. And he's there with a fire of coals, and you know what he would say to you in a gentle way? Come and dine. And if you'll come to him and get back in the yoke with him, his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and he will, as it says in Revelation 3:20, sup with you and you with him. There's fellowship in his yoke. There was a gentle reminder. Let me share with you the fourth thing that I think we should see in this passage of Scripture that all has to do with, more or less, that first Sunday night. Chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, we see a question of love. A question of love. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. You see, when Jesus got down to it, after the transfer of a call, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you, after Peter's disillusionment and loss of focus, after his gentle reminder, Jesus got down to the heart of the matter. And Madison Baptist Church, this is the heart of the matter for us. Jesus would say, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these?" I find it interesting that Jesus didn't say, "More than these fish, more than these men that you work with, more than these ships or money or, you know, whatever." I imagine he was talking about the fish. But Jesus didn't say that. And I wonder if God didn't allow that to be ambiguous because you and I can put whatever is in our life there. Whatever it is that we've become disillusioned with and we've turned our focus toward, perhaps Jesus would say to us tonight, and this is the issue, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And many times we're like Peter, "Jesus, are you kidding me? Of course I love you." And you know what Jesus would say to us? "Feed my sheep." In other words, this: if we love Jesus, we're going to love His mission. And what was His mission? It was people. Friends, it was people. That was Jesus' mission. Feed His people. It's easy for us to say, "Well, I love Jesus. I mean, come on." But He would say to us, "All right, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And friends, tonight, I believe that as an extension of that very first Sunday night, you know what Jesus would want us to understand? Don't lose focus. Jesus' whole point of coming to this earth was to seek and to save that which was lost. And once those are saved that were lost, He wants to feed them. And by the way, if you know anything about Peter's ministry, his ministry was feeding the flock of God. That's why in 1 Peter 5, he says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder." And then he goes on to say, "Feed the flock of God." He was fulfilling the ministry that Jesus gave him. Now, it's easy for us to say, "I love Jesus." But okay, if we love Him, let's stay focused on loving people. And friends, we can't love people from afar. We've got to get where the lost are, and we've got to reach them. We've got to get where the saved are and feed them. We can't love from afar. Let's get back to doing the job that He gave us to do on that very first Sunday night when He said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. Lord, it's just amazing to me what you do with Your Word and how You speak to us. And Lord, it just touches our heart in such a way, Lord, that we can see ourselves in that story and hear Your voice speaking to us. Now, Holy Spirit, I submit the message to You. I submit the reaction of it to You. I submit everything. It's Yours. Lord, this is Your church, Your people. And Lord, I just trust that You're going to take it and use it as You see fit. Lord, I pray that You would help me to get back in the focused area that I need to be in. Lord, it's so easy for me to be disillusioned during this time. It's so easy for me to be off focus and forget that you've called us to fulfill the mission that you left behind. Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you help your people? Would you help us as a church? And I thank you that you will. I trust you with it. In Jesus' name, amen.